the name of the Lord your God. Would you please bless his name? For he is God and there is none beside him. Just praise him. Just worship him. Just adore him. Just magnify him. The one who died and rose again and is alive forevermore. We praise him. We worship him. We glorify him. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord for his goodness, for his mercy, and for all that he has done for you. Can you lift your voice and just bless the Lord for all his goodness? Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let everybody say a loud amen. Now you are now going to commit yourself to the mercies of God for the next quarter, April, May, June. That as he saw you through the first quarter, he will see you through the next. He will preserve you, he will keep you, he will sustain you, he will deliver you, he will protect you, and he will show you his grace and favor in all your ways. Can you just pray and commit your way to the Lord? In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let somebody say a louder amen. Amen. Lift your hands to the Lord. As the Lord showed you mercy in the first quarter of the year, he will show you mercy again. Amen. His mercy and favor will not depart from your life. Amen. For the rest of your life, you will walk in the mercy of God. Amen. In the name of Jesus. 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 For this quarter, you will see the glory of God. The hand of the Lord will sustain you. In the name of Jesus. Every crooked thing in your life shall be made straight. In the name of Jesus. Every missing thing in your life, the hand of God will supply. This is your quarter of perfection. For the Lord will perfect everything that concerns you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The peace of God be with you. In Jesus' name. Can somebody say amen? Let somebody shout hallelujah. Hey, let somebody shout a louder hallelujah. What I'll begin to share is actually the heart of our Christian faith. That's the heart of it. That's the core of it. That's the reason for our hope. That's the reason why we have a bright and brilliant hope for the future. So it's so important that we all pay attention to it and we all absorb it and you all flow in it and reassure yourself of this, because that is there. That's the heart of it all. Because if Christ be not risen from the dead, then your faith is vain. If Christ be not risen from the dead, then you are still in your sin. And there is no hope at all. No hope at all. Then we will live and die like all the other people without any hope beyond this world. If Christ be not risen. That's the heart of it. All your coming to church is nothing if Jesus didn't rise again. All your fasting is nothing if he didn't rise again. All your praying is nothing. All your reading the Bible is nothing. All your preaching the gospel, all your evangelization, everything is nothing if Jesus Christ did not rise again. As a matter of fact, this is the distinguishing mark of the Christian faith. This is what sets Christianity apart from every other religion. Every other. There are great religions all over the world. All right? Good religion, all right, pious religion, all right, honorable religion, and make people feel important and all of that. But there is no life, there is no hope, there is no assurance. Because there is none of those religion where the leader died and rose again like Jesus Christ did. So this is the mark that sets Christianity apart. As a matter of fact, Christianity is not a religion. It's a celebration of life. The life of God. That Jesus Christ died and rose again and is alive in me. And because he lives, we shall live also. He said in his word, that's in John chapter 14 verse 19. He said, because I live, you shall live also. So we'll be looking at quite some things. And that's what the Christian world will be celebrating throughout the whole world, the length and breadth of this earth in the month of April. And let's begin to look at it and reassure yourself of your hope, both now and in the world to come. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Let me hear your amen. Amen. It appears the church is sleeping on me this morning. Let me hear your amen. Amen. That sounded like it. Okay. Let me hear your amen. Amen. That's closer to Christ Life Church. Let me hear your amen. All right. I mean, if you are not alive and well, then let me send you to some dead church where some dead men are preaching dead sermon to dead people in dead pew, and everything is dead, and you find yourself in the congregation of the dead, but you are in the congregation of the living. You are alive. Let someone say, I'm alive.
I'm alive.
Say it like you're alive.
I'm alive.
You can be in Christ Life Church and you're keeping quiet. Well, you know, no. And you be still and be quiet. No, there is nothing like it. No. Where the wind of the Spirit is blowing, there is a noise. The bones coming together, bones to his bone, and the flesh covering it. There is a noise. You better read Ezekiel 37 and you see where the Spirit of God is moving, there is a noise. So you don't keep quiet on me. We're going to do all this preaching together this morning. Come on, son, get on the keyboard and just let's help me preach this morning. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
All right, Revelations chapter 1. Revelations chapter 1. And we read verses 18 and 19. Revelation chapter 1. This is Jesus speaking. If you carry my kind of a Bible, you'll find it written all in red. Because it's the word of the Lord. We're celebrating the Most High that is alive forever. He is alive today. Revelation 1 verse 18. I am he that liveth. One translation translates that as I am the ever living one. If you look at it in your King James version of the Bible, it says, I am he that liveth. That's an old Elizabethan English that expresses it in the present tense. I am he that lives. Lives. Present, continuous. The ever living one. I am the ever living one and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Let somebody say, he's alive.
He's alive.
Let me hear you say it. Let me hear you say it one more time. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. There is no single man in the whole world that can make this claim that I was, I am, and I will be. There is no single man. There is no single man that can say, I am the ever living one. Because everybody dies one day. There's no single man who can say, yes, I was, I am, and then I'm there tomorrow. In fact, somebody will quickly remind you that nobody knows tomorrow. But he stood and said, I am the ever living one. I was dead. And behold, I am alive. Not for one day. Not for 2 days, not for 3 days. I am alive forevermore. I'd like you to lift your hand and say, Jesus is alive forevermore. I want you to say it triumphantly. Say, Jesus is alive forevermore. One more time, say Jesus is alive forevermore. If you believe it, shout hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8, the Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. In Malachi chapter 3 verse 6, it says, I am the Lord, I change not, I do not change, the same constantly forever. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, the Bible talks of Jesus as the one that lives, he ever lives to make intercession for us. He ever lives to make intercession for us. He lives forever. He conquered sin. He conquered death. He conquered the grave. He came alive from the dead, never to die again. King of kings and the Lord of lords. And he lives forever interceding for us. He lives forever sitting on the throne of glory. And he lives forever, and he is coming back again. He is alive. Let somebody say he's alive. Let me hear you say. Hey, come on, let me hear you say. Now, we are familiar with the story of how he walked on this earth, the sinless Son of God, how he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I made the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, and I brought the dead back to life again. He did it at that time when was in the flesh, the Son of the living God. And then when the time came for him to go to the cross and paid the ultimate sacrifice, make the ultimate sacrifice for the redemption of our souls, so we can be redeemed from sin, from hell, from death, and from the hands of the devil, so we can be free forever, he set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. He knew that in Jerusalem he was going to be arrested. He knew it. He knew that in Jerusalem he was going to be maltreated. He knew it. He knew that in Jerusalem they were going to spit on him. He knew it. They were going to hand him over to the Gentiles. He knew it. He knew that they were going to crucify him and leave him hanging between heaven and earth and leave him to die. He knew it. He knew he was going to die. He knew it. But he knew also that that was the Father's will for his life. Because if he did not die, there would be no salvation for us. If he did not go to the cross, there would be no redemption for us. He knew it. So he set his face like a flint and he went to Jerusalem. And of course, there it happened. Was arrested, and you know the story, and he was condemned to die, and then he went to the cross, and as a matter of fact, he said, no man taketh my life from me, of my own accord I lay it down, and of my own accord I take it back again. So he willingly gave his life and died for us. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus died for you. He shed his precious blood. He paid the price. You do not need to die again. Help me preach to your neighbor. Say, my friend, Jesus died for you. You don't need to die again. Turn to somebody else, tell him. Say, my friend, Jesus died for you. You do not need to die again. Turn to another person, tell him. Say, my friend, Jesus died for you. You do not need to die again. That's why Jesus said, he that believeth in me shall never die. Never. But he that believeth in me and is dead shall rise again. Because he broke the chains of death. He came out of the grave. He vanquished the last enemy that everybody in the world fear and dread so badly. And he gave us the victory. The Bible says he spoiled principalities. He spoiled power. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So coming out of that victory over the forces of darkness, he made this stupendous declaration that we have read this morning. He said, I am he that lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive today, tomorrow, forever, and I have the keys of hell and of death. So even if the devil has locked some people up in hell with death, I can open the gate and let the captives go free, because God has given me the power. Now, after he rose again from the dead, he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. Please turn your Bibles to Acts of the Apostles. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. He showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. Proofs you cannot doubt. Proofs you cannot deny. And I let the people know that he is alive today. Let somebody say, he is alive. Let me hear you. Let me hear you. Let me hear you. You are sleeping again. Let me hear you. Be careful this morning. Wherever the story of the resurrection is told, the power of the resurrection must flow. Wherever we testify of the truth that God raised his son from the dead, he always shows himself alive. And there is no way Jesus shows himself alive that the miraculous does not happen. When he shows himself alive, something that is beyond the ordinary must happen. And today something good will happen to you. Let me hear your amen. The doctor has said that you're going to carry that sickness until the day of your death. The power of his resurrection will take it away today. I can't hear your amen. One of my daughters came to me this week. She got attacked, and the doctor diagnosed it one very terrible killer disease, and they said she'll go on treatment. She went on treatment for some time, and then the thing subsided, and then early in the week the attack came again, and she was so scared. So she came to my office. She was shaking and sweating. And then she mentioned the case. When she mentioned the case and said this was what they diagnosed before, and I'm beginning to see the sign again, I said, you will not see that sign anymore, but you will see the sign of the glory of God in your life. And I laid my hands on her and prayed for her right in my office early this week. And I said, go back to the same doctor and let him check you up. All right. Yesterday I saw, she was so radiant. She was beaming. She was smiling. Yesterday, she went back to the same doctor who diagnosed that deadly disease in her body. And they checked her up again, and they found nothing anymore. Because Jesus is alive. Let somebody say he's alive. Let me hear you say it. Let me hear you shout it. He always loves to show himself alive. And each time he shows himself alive, signs happen. A mighty sign will happen to you today. You will experience a miracle today. How do I know? Because he is alive. Let somebody say he's alive. All right, Acts chapter 1 verse, let's read this verse 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. The 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He showed himself alive. Now this was after he died. After they buried him, he came out of the grave and showed himself alive and spake. He didn't just reveal himself, he spoke. So it was not a hallucination that they were seeing. No, they were seeing the real Jesus that died. He rose again and spoke to them because he is alive. And the same way he showed himself alive to these disciples, he will show himself alive to you today.
How many of you want to see Jesus alive in this place today? Come on, shout hallelujah. If you study Acts of the Apostles and the New Testament very well, the heart of their message was the resurrection. They had not preached anything except they had spoken about the resurrection. As a matter of fact, it's the foundation of every other message they preach. Every other message they preach hang on that. Every other message they preach depend on that. Praise the Lord. Amen. So the heart of their message in the New Testament was the resurrection of Jesus. They spoke about it with passion. They spoke about it with conviction. As a matter of fact, they died for it. Because what they were saying was crazy. They were saying some crazy stuff. That, you know, a virgin conceived and gave birth to a child without a connection of a man. Crazy stuff. And as somebody died, clinically dead, and then they took him from the cross and they put him in the grave, and he was there for 3 days, and on the third day he rose again and he's alive. Crazy. Nothing of the stuff had been written or ever read in any encyclopedia or record. It was crazy stuff. So they got stones for their head. They got matchets. They got cudgels. They got all kind of treatment. But they were so sure, because Jesus Christ revealed himself alive to them. So they stood on the truth of the word and they proclaimed it with conviction. Every message they preached, they affirmed the fact that Jesus died, but that God raised him from the dead. Come with me to Acts of the Apostles. I'll show you something. Now go to chapter 2 and see the message. Hallelujah. 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 Now in Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, verse 31, Peter was explaining the message of David, the prophecy of David. He said, he, David, seen this before, speak of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Verse 32, this Jesus has God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. He spoke with conviction. He said the prophecy of David was pointed to Jesus, that Jesus Christ was going to die and was going to be raised again, and that God actually raised him from the dead, and we all are witnesses. That was the message that they preached. Now, okay, go with me to chapter 5. Now I'll show you something. He went on and they preached the same message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he rose from the dead and he is alive today. That was the message. They preached it with conviction, with boldness, with authority, and they proclaimed it with all of their heart. They just didn't bother whether people persecuted them, whether people hated them. They didn't care a bit. They just proclaimed this message of the resurrection. Chapter 3, Acts of the Apostles, verse 26. It says, unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquity. That God raised his son Jesus and then he sent him to bless you. That was a message that they preached. That Jesus Christ died and that God raised him from the dead. Okay, look at chapter 5 from verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. They were being persecuted here. Alright? Verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Verse 31. Him has God exalted with his right hand to be the prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins.
and we are his witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obeyed him. They proclaimed it boldly that God raised Christ from the dead. Go to Acts of the Apostles chapter 10. That was the heart of their message. Let me read from verse 34. 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That's what I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing order to oppress of the devil, for God was with him. Can somebody say amen? Verse 39. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on a tree. Verse 40. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. God raised him the third day and showed him openly. That was the heart of their message. Go to chapter 13, Acts of the Apostles. They proclaim boldly that Jesus died and Jesus rose again. And each time they proclaimed it, he always showed himself alive. He saved, he healed, he delivered, he broke the chains of death, he set the captives free, he glorified his name, because indeed he is alive. Chapter 13. Let me read from verse 36. Hallelujah. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. And he's talking about Jesus. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man Jesus is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. They proclaim boldly that Jesus Christ died, that Jesus Christ rose, and that Jesus Christ is alive today. Please repeat after me. Say, Jesus Christ died, Jesus Christ rose, Jesus Christ is alive today. I can't hear you. Say, Jesus Christ died, Jesus Christ rose, Jesus Christ is alive today. Can I hear your amen? Look at Romans chapter 1. That was the heart of their message. They proclaimed it. That's the anchor. That's the foundation. Everything hangs on it. The other day, I heard of one bishop of Durham. The man is out of the place now, in England, who disproved everything miraculous and doubted it about the Christian faith. He said, no, there was nothing like the virgin birth. He had his own explanation. And he said, there was nothing like resurrection. That Jesus didn't rise from the dead. I heard it. I said, what is he doing being a bishop? Bishop? Bishop of whom? Who sent him? Who is he representing? Who gave him a message? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I feel sorry for the Church of England. I'm happy that the Anglican Church in Nigeria, they are distancing themselves from that folly and stupidity that is going on there. Now, they consecrate homosexual bishop. Now, they have legalized same-sex marriage. So two men can go to the altar in the church in England and they will be wedded and they will be recognized before law as marriage. Two women can go to the altar and they will be wedded. One will be wife, one will be husband. Crazy. I asked one of them a question.
Because he told me, he said, you are homophobic. I said, no. Who is afraid of you? I'm not. But you guys are perverted. And I asked him, I said, excuse me, if your parents were to be homosexuals, would you have been here? You won't be here. The one that made them Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. But they have corrupted the word of God. They have perverted the word of God. And they have overturned the faith of many. The Bible says, from such, turn away. For we know that God cannot lie. And he has given a witness concerning his son Jesus, that he died and rose again and is alive forevermore. Lift your right hand. Say, Jesus died. Jesus rose again. Jesus is alive again. Can somebody say amen? Now some of you may say, oh, Baba is coming to church today, let him just prophesy and let him do something. What I'm teaching you is what makes prophecy possible. That's the foundation. That is what gives power to prophecy. If Jesus is not alive, there is no power behind prophecy. Let him just lay his hands and heal me. Ah. If resurrection power is not for real, you can't be healed. Your sins cannot even be forgiven you. You will die and go to hell. Sure. If Jesus didn't die and rise again, if Jesus didn't conquer death and didn't conquer the grave, there is no hope for anybody. We'll be lost forever. So an attack at the resurrection of Jesus is an attack at the foundation of the Christian faith. There is nothing, if Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, then there is nothing. Then let's burn our Bibles. Let's live like others live. Then let every man go and marry as many wives as possible. And let everybody be as wicked and as cruel and as terrible as possible. Because there is no resurrection, so there is no afterlife, and there is no judgment, there is no accountability. But these things are for real. Judgment is sure. Resurrection is certain. And because Jesus died and rose again, we have a hope beyond this world, because Christ in you is the hope of glory. The Bible says, if it is only in this life we have hope in Christ Jesus, we are for men most miserable. But we are not miserable. We are the happiest people on earth. It says, because I live, you shall live also. We can face tomorrow because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone. All fear is gone. Because I know. Because I know. Yes, I know. He holds my future. And life is worth living. And life is worth living. Just because he is. I'm reading a book currently. I'm on my fifth reading of it. The story of David and Anahindra. If you get to my bedroom now, you see it by the bedside. This book was written some 152 years ago, but was just recently republished by a missionary. The story of how Christianity came to Ibadan here in the midst of darkness and idolatry. In 1851, these people came from England and they brought the gospel message here. And I read how they labored under very inclement atmosphere, hostile environment. And then I read of how this woman died at the age of 44. She died before her husband. They were here missionaries for 18 years. They started the church, St. David's Church, Kudete. As a matter of fact, the David there is to honor David, the husband of Anna, Indra. St. Anne's Church, Malete, is to honor the Anna, Indra. Because they started the St. David's Church, that's the first church
in Ibadan. All right. I think there's only one church, no, three churches that preceded it. One church in Abeokuta, one church in Lagos, and one church in Badagry. And then the St. David's Church. That's why they call it Erekusu Ibabo. That's what you see it written there. They started St. David's Church Kudete, St. Anne's Church Malete, and they started St. James's Church, the one that is the cathedral. They started it, and how they labored. And then, when this woman was about to die, back in England, their head broken, everything, you know, battered, fever, kind of stuff. And by the time they returned to England after 18 years, they were not in good shape anymore. They were not even in shape to go anywhere anymore. And then the husband was nursing her and said, "Hannah, is it well?" That was just a few hours before her death, 2 or 3 hours before her death. She smiled and said, "David, I can see a land far ahead, and I'm going to that blessed land." He said, "David, sing for me, I join you. Rock of ages cleft for me. Let me hide my 70. And with a very beautiful, glowing smile on her face, she fell asleep in death. There is no faith in all of the world that gives you peace and quiet and assurance at the face of death. Now, and we have that assurance because we know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But if the Lord did not rise from the dead, then where are you going to be present? But He is alive today. And we have a sure and certain hope of eternal life. Hallelujah. Because He lives. He lives. I can face tomorrow. Because He lives. Oh, there is God. Because I know. Because I know. And life is worth a living just because he Romans chapter 1, verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. He rose from the dead. He was of the seed of David in the flesh. He died on the cross as the flesh. But the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of holiness, raised him up from the dead and declared him with power to be the Son of God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He is alive. He died, he rose. Let your faith be strong. The word of God says it. And he proves himself alive. All right? He is alive today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Hallelujah. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. Please repeat after me. Say, Christ died for my sins, according to the scriptures. I'm teaching you doctrine this morning, church. Say after me, say, Christ died for my sins, according to the scripture. I'm not teaching it because somebody is teaching it. I'm not teaching it just because Bible says it. I'm teaching it, yes, because Bible says it, but because it is true and I've experienced it. Please say after me, say, Christ died for my sins, according to the scriptures. Verse 4, and that he was buried, and I rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. Verse 5. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are falling asleep. Verse 7. After that, he was seen of James and of all the apostles. Verse 8, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. May you see Jesus. That That was what changed his life.
He saw him. He saw him on the way to Damascus. Saul, why are you persecuting me? He saw him in the fullness of his glory. He saw him full of light. And that glorious light dazed him, blinded him, and knocked him on the floor. And so by the time he got up from the floor, a persecutor had become an apostle. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make their enemies the footstool. So he became the footstool of the Lord, and he became a herald of the gospel of Jesus. The same gospel that he labored to disprove, he spent the rest of his life to proclaim it, and then he died for it because it is true. Let somebody say it is true. So he is alive. He showed himself alive by many, many infallible proofs. In Isaiah 63 verse 1, hear this word of the Lord. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? He that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. He is alive today, mighty to save. There is nobody that he cannot save. There is no sin that he cannot forgive. He is alive, mighty to save. He is alive to accompany you all through your life's journey. He has promised never to leave you nor forsake you. He says, lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. He is alive to give you victory and dominion over whatever power and force of darkness may want to confront you. He says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and on scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He is alive to see to it that you have your own portion of the inheritance. The inheritance he purchased for us did not come into force until his death, because a testament only comes into force after the death of the testator. You cannot inherit the estate of your father while the man is alive. His will is impotent while he's still alive. He can change it anytime. All right? But as soon as the man dies, his will goes into force. And people doctor wills and they change it and all that. They do all kind of funny things. But see, Jesus is the only one who died and rose again to supervise the execution of his will and to make sure that you get exactly what he wants you to get. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So nobody can cheat you out. Nobody can doctor his will. I said, no, he didn't say that. This is what he said. He said, no, I'm alive here. That's exactly what I said. That's exactly what I mean. That's what I wanted to have. Let him have his inheritance. Hallelujah. He is alive. Lift your hand and shout, he is alive. He is alive also to authenticate the preaching of the gospel. When we go to preach, hear me, ladies and gentlemen. The gospel message is the most stupid message on earth. Very stupid. That I will lay hands on you and the sickness in your body will disappear. Does that make sense? I remember a woman. The woman is late now. Died at a very ripe old age. This woman was suffering from diabetes for 27 years. She was a matron before she joined Glasgow Smith, this medical whatever, and she was their director for the whole of Southwest Kwara up to Lagos, so she knew everything about medicine. So her case had gotten so bad that she would give herself insulin injection every day. It was a dysfunctional family. She had separated from her husband. She didn't have any child. She adopted two girls. Mommy, you remember her case? Adopted two girls, and the two girls were misbehaving very badly. One of them was at a crisis point and she wanted to commit suicide. When she came to our meeting, we see her through there and God saved her and her life changed. And then the mother watched how the life of this girl changed Her name was Ebele.
She's still alive. She's in the battle now. She's married to a lawyer.
How her life changed, and she became so radiant and beautiful. And the mother said, Ebele, what's happening to you?
I said, I went to this meeting, and she was a young convert. I went to this Reverend Waluke's meeting, and my life changed.
Ah, he said, take me to that man. So Ebele brought her mother. And then she told all the story of her life. I said, woman, I'm going to pray for you, and God is going to heal you of diabetes. He said, really? I said, yes. She said, are you going to do it? Because I injected myself with insulin every day. She told me that. She said, even in spite of insulin, sometimes she would just faint. I don't know how it happened to them. And when she opened her eyes, she would find herself in UCH. There's a professor attending to her. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I will lay my hands on you. And I prophesy, and you'll be healed. She laughed. So I said to God in a whisper, I said, God, even if you don't heal any other one, you must heal. Hallelujah. I said, God, even though you heal any other one, you must heal this one. So I laid my hands, rebuke that thing. She went back to UCH, and they were shocked. From that day till she died, she didn't take one insulin injection. She was free. Now, she died a member of Christ Life Church. We buried her in the house. She died at a ripe old age. She was so fervent and committed to the church. There was a time she had a house along the road. She wanted us to use to start a church, but then we hadn't started a satellite church. She would talk of me everywhere. She went to the Alafia for y'all. You know, because that's her connection. She's a high woman there. She told everybody about this young man who has power. You know? Now, I remember when Elijah came to me from Oyo based on her testimony. And the man said, greeted me very respectfully and said, we have heard of your power. And we came for help. I said, fine. So when I was talking to him about giving his life to Christ, did you understand what I say? I see. You know these Elijah people, they have heard of somebody doing what they could not do. That's Elimas by Jesus. And wanted to take that power and add to the one he has. He does not know that before you can get that power, you must lose all the one that you think you have before. So when I brought the message of Jesus and salvation, I said, he took his bag and he left. And yet, he wanted the power of God. This one got healed. God healed. And then there is one old man, old papa. His house is very close to Green Spring Hotel. One old time lawyer. I've forgotten the name, escaped me now. You know, one old time lawyer. The wife is a judge. All right. Through this woman also, the old man came. Because he was suffering from the same problem. And that one gave his life to Christ. When I led that one to Christ and received the power of the Holy Spirit, the old man gave his life to Christ in my office at age 87 that time. He said I was the only black pilot during the Second World War. After the Civil War, I joined the brigade. He said, this is what I've been searching for all my life. I have peace. I have joy. This is what I've been searching for all my life. He himself was a faithful member of Christ's Life Church until he died. And what happened? Jesus Christ showed himself alive by many infallible proof. He will show himself alive to you. You will experience his power today. In the name of Jesus. When you go to preach the gospel and you tell them he's alive, that's the most stupid message you can ever preach. That somebody was born of a virgin. Stupid. Silly. Unscientific. And then the heaven opens
Something came upon him and was performing miracles. Silly. And then he died again. And then he rose. That's a huge joke. You have a good laugh. And then somebody who died again, somebody who died 2,000 years ago, is the person that will save you now. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. But to them that have been saved, it is the power of God. God has ordained that through the foolishness of preaching, this gospel of the Jesus who died, who rose, and who is alive again, the world will be saved. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man. So don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be intimidated. One Muslim man said, well, you Christian, you said there are three gods. Prove it. No, you don't bother yourself. Just declare it. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Period. No proof. It's like an atheist telling you, and you say you believe in God. Tell us how you come about it. In the beginning, God. That's what the Bible says. No proof. Jesus rose again. Prove it. The Bible says it. That's the only proof. And before you say Jack, the power of God will move to confirm that what you are saying is true. Because God has ordained that through the foolishness of preaching, the world will be saved. So don't be intimidated to preaching. Don't be afraid. Go all over the world. He said, Lord, I am with you to the close of the age. And the Bible says, and they went preaching the gospel everywhere. The Lord working with them with signs and wonders following. Finally, he's alive in me. Look at me very well. He is alive in me. Can somebody say amen? If you want to know whether Jesus Christ is alive or not, just look at me. I will have died. I was on a fast lane. They took me and changed my life. I was living a rough life. I was very brilliant, so I was very naughty. And troublesome. But he double crossed me and took over my life. I was very brilliant, so I had a tall ambition. And I had my plan laid out. I was on a fast lane. But he changed, look at me today. He's changed me, he's cleansed me, he's sanctified me. He's justified me. He's filled me with the Holy Spirit. He's put his hand upon me. He's made me an evidence of his goodness. So if you want to prove that Jesus Christ is alive, just look at me. He's alive inside me. My life is a testimony. How many of you here? A sin was dominating your life before. But after you met Jesus, the power of that sin was broken and you became free. Let me see your hand. Oh, if you're there, come on, shout hallelujah. How many of you are here today? An affliction of the devil was the recording decimal in your life. But after Jesus Christ met you and touched your life, the affliction disappeared and you became free. Let me see your hand, please. Come on, shout hallelujah. The evidences are all over the world. He's alive. He's alive again. And the stone thrown away. He's alive again. He's no longer where he lay. He's alive again. I can hear the angels say, let all the world rejoice. He's alive. He's alive again. And the stone is rolled away. He's alive again. He's no longer where he lay. Again. I can hear the angels sing, let all the world rejoice. He's alive. Sing it one more time. He's alive again.
He's alive.
He's alive again. And our stone is rolled away. He's alive again. He's no longer where he laid. He's alive again. I can hear the angels sing. Let all the world rejoice. He's alive.
Let all the world rejoice. He's alive.
Let all the world rejoice.
Let all the world rejoice. He is alive.
Let all the world rejoice. He is alive.
Let all the world rejoice. He is alive.
All the world rejoice. He is alive.
Let all the world rejoice. He is alive.
Let all the world rejoice. He is alive.
I'd like you to stand on your feet. Let's worship him who died. Let's worship him who rose again. Let's worship him who is alive. Just bless him. He has given us hope. He has forgiven our sins. He has conquered death. He has conquered sin. He has conquered the grave. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory?
Let all the world rejoice in the light.
If Christ be not risen, then your faith is vain. Our preaching is vain. If Christ be not risen, there is no hope for the future. But we have a hope. For Christ in you is a hope of glory. Indeed he died. Indeed he rose. Indeed he is alive. Just bless him. Just bless him. Can you bless him? Just sing him a new song. Just bless his name. Just worship him. Just magnify him. Just bless him. Just bless him. Just bless him. Just bless him. He died for you. He rose for you. He conquered sin. He conquered death. He conquered the grave. He defeated the devil. He's alive today. Never to die anymore. And because he lives, we shall live on.
Yeah.
celebrate your life. We celebrate your death. We celebrate your resurrection. We celebrate your glorious ascension. We celebrate the fact that you are the one that lives forever, that was dead, and behold, you are alive forevermore. We celebrate our hope. We celebrate our future. We celebrate our glorious eternity. We celebrate our majestic King. We celebrate the triumph of the gospel of Christ. We celebrate the foolishness of preaching that have saved us. We celebrate you, oh Lord our God, on this altar today. We celebrate you in this house today. And we magnify you. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.